Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster at Alexander, producing and engineering on the other side of the glass. Today is what they call Fat Tuesday, because it is Mardi Gras time. Some very famous places, of course, stage Mardi Gras. New Orleans, for one, Rio de Janeiro, and quite a few places in the Caribbean have a big Mardi Gras going on today. It is the 17th day of February 2015. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, where you have our podcasts and our complete audio archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling with our ongoing Capitol Legislative Series. This is where we talk with lawmakers from Southern Arizona about the current Arizona legislative session. Today, in the spotlight, District 10 Democrat Stephanie Mock. 20 minutes past the hour, it'll be either thumbs up or thumbs down from Shelley Fishman. Right now, it's a little bit of a thumbs up on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Shelley hosts our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. He is here, this fine certified financial planner, at 20 minutes past the hour approximately every Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly Cox Business Technology segment, followed by a fascinating look at a new book called The Health of the First Ladies of America. We'll speak with the author of that new book. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's go now to the capital of the state of Arizona, Phoenix. Stephanie Mock is with us. State Representative Mock, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're into your second term. What are the noticeable differences between being a freshman and, I guess, a sophomore lawmaker?
Well, one of the differences, I would have to say, is they give me more responsibility. I have another committee beyond the two that I initially had. I sit on Appropriations, Commerce, and also Military Affairs and Public Safety. And the other noticeable difference is really that I just know a lot of the actors. I know what's going on in the agencies, and some of the bills that we see now are some of the same ones that we saw the last term as well.
You know, it's interesting. There was this big dust-up, of course, that everybody's heard about by now between the state, between the governor and the superintendent of public instruction, Diane Douglas and Doug Ducey. But there wasn't a big dust-up, if you will, over what some have said was a political firing of the head of the child welfare and safety in this state.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the administration that I think reflect the fact that he's not really prioritizing what's really important. And the truth is that while we may be really upset about the firing of Director Flanagan, the point that I would like to underline is that we're not really protecting our kids. There's not a lot of effort going into actually making sure that our kids are educated and that we're actually protecting people. So there may be a lot of internal stuff going on, but the truth is we need to be focusing more on what's important.
Have we, are we making a dent in improving the situation with Child Protective Services, in your opinion?
Well, I do think that Director Flanagan made a lot of headway. Obviously, it was a really difficult task that he had taken on, and it was a short amount of time. I think it was under a year that he served to really turn the ship around, if you will. There was 6,000 cases that he went through and made sure that were investigated. There was a lot of restructuring that happened. Obviously, we have a new agency compared to the, it's Department of Child Safety as opposed to CPS, Child Protective Services. And, it takes time. It takes time to really go through that. Truly, I think that we're not investing enough in preventative services. We haven't gone far enough in making sure that we're preventing the issue and not just dealing with the repercussions of bad structure and bad policies.
Yeah, you are on the Appropriations Committee, and of course it is budget time. That is probably the major responsibility that the lawmakers, you and your colleagues, have in Phoenix. What are you hearing about the budget, and is it going to be a small handful of people who are going to be deciding the financial picture for the state for the next couple of years?
Well, I think that's the biggest struggle that I face as a minority member, but also just, you know, the people of our state deserve to have as much criticism towards the budget as we can possibly have to make sure that it gets better. And our budget is a value statement, and it should include all of the things that we care about. It should have more priority based in the education system, in making sure that we're spending more in our universities and colleges and K-12 than we are in our prisons. And, you know, I think that the priorities are a little out of whack, and they don't represent the people of Arizona. So truly it is our only real priority that we have as a legislature is to pass a budget. But we're focused often on distractions.
And I'm wondering about what is the status now of whether the money for public schools, for the classroom, is that going to be settled? Is there going to be some kind of a settlement for that? It was, what, $350 million or something,
payment? Estimate changes. Yeah, every time I hear it. But it's roughly around $330 million from what I understand. Yes, there's going to be they're in mediation now. We don't know when it's going to go through. But what I can say that no matter what happens, it will be a fight. Even if it is decided that we have to pay that money, I think that it'll go towards further litigation. And this year is going to be difficult to get that money that the kids really deserve.
Well, it's really a shame because more litigation. Who's gonna get rich out of this? I guess the attorneys will get rich, but the kids are not going to get the money that needs to go to the schools. It's crazy.
Yeah. So often we have fights with the majority members, the GOP, about litigation. They're trying to do tort reform while simultaneously litigating every single thing that they can, from taking away federal rights, which is unconstitutional, to all of the gun bills they continuously pass. And really, again, these are distractions. What we need to concentrate on are what people sent us here to do, which is to make sure that we are educating our kids, we are preparing them for jobs, that we are creating as many jobs as we can, or facilitating the creation of that, rather. And that's not what's happening.
Stephanie Mock is with us, House of Representatives in the Arizona Legislature from District 10, which encompasses the Tucson area. You are also on the Public Safety Committee. I'm wondering about Steve Farley, who tries session after session to get the texting bill passed. I think we're one of only two states that still allow driving and texting, correct?
Yes, I don't know how many states remain, but yeah, I think hands-free is something that we're trying to do a little bit of work on, and it's, again, I think that there's a lot of partisanship, and instead of looking at good bills and the merits of those bills, we're constantly focused on petty fighting between the parties, and I think it's to the detriment of the people of Arizona.
Is it hard as a Democrat to get any legislation passed? I know you have, what, House Bill 2217. What is that briefly all about, Stephanie?
Well, yeah. So my bill, it's 2217. It takes money from the Jobs Training Fund, which is an already established fund, to jobs training for people with disabilities. It previously didn't have that capability. It would transfer it into the vocational rehabilitation place. And really, it has a 4-to-1 federal match. If we're going to be paying those taxes, we might as well get them back. And it's a no-brainer. And it gets people who are oftentimes on other social programs to get off of those with the independence of having jobs training. So it's exactly what people asked me to do, which was to concentrate on jobs and to make sure that, you know, we're focused on the priorities of the people in our districts.
You know, there was talk that before the Super Bowl that Arizona wouldn't be introducing any of the so-called crazy legislation that we've seen in the past. Are any of those kind of weird bills emerging, or is it too late for that?
Oh, yes, they're emerging.
Oh, it's still time.
They are in full force right now. It's undoubtable. This is exactly what they had planned because, we're seeing. I mean, this morning in caucus, I had about 100 bills that we went through. And I would say that of them, a significant number were focused on, again, the wrong priorities, their guns. They're, you know, increasing more school vouchers instead of concentrating on our traditional public schools. They are, again, making crazy assertions that the federal government needs to follow the state of Arizona's wishes. I mean, yes, of course, we all vote for our federal officials, but it's not the state place to say we're going to take back lands or you know, all of the amazing things that I see down here. It's pretty shocking.
Okay, Stephanie Mock, where can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can email me at smach@azledge.gov. They can call into the number here at the Capitol. They can find me on my website, stephaniemock.com. There's a lot. I'm very findable on Google.
Okay.
So, please contact me if you have anything that you'd like me to concentrate on.
Stephanie Mock, thank you very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you again. Thank you, Stephanie.
Appreciate it, Bill.
All right, Stephanie Mock, as we continue our ongoing series, trying to give all of our listeners an update of what's going on in Phoenix, trying to do that at least once a week. We're going to get an update on what's going on with our financial markets and what you need to know as you do your financial planning. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is waiting in the wings, and he will be next on the Tuesday edition of Buckmaster.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes. We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock. 323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems. 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Twenty on the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon. That means it's time for Shelly Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelly, how is your week going so far?
Well, it's a very short week so far.
Yeah.
Today is the
first business day. That's true.
It looks like we're going to survive another Tuesday, despite the fact that it's Buckmaster's Tuesday birthday day.
Yeah, it all started with my birthday back in December, didn't it? On Tuesdays, we kind of went south and... we've had some bad Tuesdays, but today we're going north.
North a little bit. Let's call it flat so far.
As we get over 18,000, that's good news. But Shelly, I want to talk today about what does all of this mean for investors?
Well, you know, one of the things about an improving economy or a recovering economy is that there are different phases. Now, they're not mathematically precise phases, but we understand from studying history that various kinds of investments do best at different phases of a recovery. Now, you know, one of the first questions you'd ask is, why is this still a recovery? I mean, how long does a recovery go on? Well, the truth is, if you look at the curves, a recovery continues until it stops, and then we go into a recession. So that we're either always in a recessionary period or a recovery period. And as crazy as that sounds, that's kind of the way the terminology gets used. So we're in a recovery. It's year 6 of a recovery. We don't expect the leading edge industries or sectors to continue to outperform once the recovery itself has taken hold and become very mainstream. So for those people who are well invested in, for instance, the biotech sector over the past several years, you did obscenely well. And I mean obscenely well, you know, 30-40% a year, that kind of thing.
That is good.
Now, that's not to say that that sector will not continue to do well. But when you take a look at a broader-based economy that is recovering across many, many sectors, then when you ask the question, well, what should I be invested in? The answer becomes quality, and the answer becomes the kinds of things that are more consumer-based. So, you want to be invested in, for instance, high-tech equipment. You want to be invested in durable goods. You want to be invested in retail. You want to be invested in lots of sectors that do well when the economy is kind of bubbling along on its own. And you want to make sure you lighten up on the stuff that's likely to get in trouble first as that recovery matures and begins to turn the corner. And keep in mind, Bill, we have never in our history had a situation where a recovery didn't turn into a recession, didn't turn into a recovery, et cetera. That's just the cycle. Now, you can't predict how long it's going to be, but we know for absolutely certain at some point stocks are going to stop going up.
But may I ask you about recoveries? You said we are in 6 years of a recovery. That seems like a long time.
It is. It's a year or two longer than
most
recoveries.
Are we overdue then for going the other way?
Well, so let me give you a caveat and say that my crystal ball is not necessarily any better than anybody else's. Mm-hmm. But my instinct and all of the things that I have studied tells me that recoveries are very often in great part a function of how deep the recession was. So, for instance, in the case of the first Reagan recession, it was a very deep recession. You could argue that it was deliberately caused in order to end inflation, but for whatever reason, it was a very deep recession. It took us almost 5 years to recover from that recession.
Whoa.
Okay, and it took military spending to do it. Okay. If you take a look at a very short recession, which is, say, the first Bush recession in 2001, that was a very shallow recession, and we recovered with it within a year. We were into recovery, but the recovery didn't last too long. It flattened out pretty quickly.
So the recovery we are in was coming out of what has often been referred to as the Great Recession.
Exactly. So this is coming out of, for stocks, a 40 or 50% reduction in their values, down from, you know, a peak of around 14,000 down to 6,500 or something. There was a weird day in March of 2009 that just had everybody, you know, slitting their wrists. But more importantly, GDP slowed down massively. We went into very negative gross domestic product growth. And we stayed there for a while. So many of the sectors in the economy really were affected by this slowdown, that getting those sectors out, and this was compounded by a fundamental change in middle class employment, in the kind of skills we need in factories and the kind of jobs that have always been part of the American economy, that has been changing for 20 years. And so that was also a part of the headwinds, if you will, that slowed things down. So if you're an investor, if you stayed the course, if you made your allocations appropriate for where we were in the business cycle, you've done very well out of this recovery. And as I say, I mean, if you take a look at the very low for the Dow, which was about 6,500, and you take a look at 18,000 today, that's a tripling.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We haven't talked at all about bonds being in. What role do bonds play, Shelley Fishman, in a recovery mode?
Well, bonds have always been considered to be the conservative equivalent of investing in equities. In other words, if you want to be more and more conservative, what you want to do is you want to kind of get a little fatter on bonds, because you know what the returns are going to be from a perspective of the dividends that they pay. And you expect, worst case, that if you hold the bond to maturity, it's going to return what you paid for it. So if the bond has 4% stamped on it, 4% is what you're going to get if it doesn't, if the issuing party doesn't default. So bonds have been a nice refuge for those people who want to still be invested, but want something safer. Bonds over the past 15 years have simply outperformed everything.
And why is that?
Crazy. Well, nobody knows. Nobody can tell you with absolute certainty why bonds have really done as well as they have. With interest rates being very, very low, you'd expect bonds to do well. But for part of the period of time, say 2002 through 2008, that bonds were outperforming equities, interest rates were normal. They were, 3, 4, 5%. But bonds were still doing crazy things. You have some long-term bonds for instance, in the high-yield area that have been, returning 15 and 16% a year. When you take a look at the growth in the underlying asset plus what they've been paying, Even treasuries, which, given the weight of the potential interest rate increases that the Fed at some point is going to have to enact, even treasuries are holding their own. Interest rates in treasuries, the 10-year is still, I think, below 2%. But if you take a look at what has happened to those bonds, they've appreciated very significantly. So if you're holding, say, a general bond fund, you did very, very well last year, 8, 9, 10%.
Wow.
And that's so against 11 or 12% stocks. So, fine.
All right. Shelley Fishman, where can we get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is to go to buckmastershow.com and hit the link to me and send me an email. Or you can simply call me, 940-0884. And there's always shelleyfishman.com, which is another way to get me.
Thank you, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or the station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7-lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. The following segment is presented by Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona businesses through a world-class network providing voice data and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show is James Riley, the founder and CEO of JNR Networks, which is based here in Tucson. James, how are you?
Wonderful.
It's good to see you, and I want to talk about a couple of things with you concerning technology. I noticed, first of all, your company. When did it start, and basically, how would you give me the elevator pitch of what your company is all about?
JNR Networks was formed back in 2005, so about 10 years old now. And really what we did is we formed out of a desire to help people. Early on, I realized that anytime you have a disparity of knowledge, somebody who knows stuff and somebody who doesn't know it, that can be abused. And we wanted to start helping people do that with integrity and really take things to another level. As we grew, we got into businesses and realized we can really help businesses take things to another level, be a good business, and use technology to empower them to do that.
And you've been a techie pretty much all your life, haven't you?
Yep. Started back in high school, 20 years now.
And what got you, what was it about that that resonated with you? Why did you want to go in this direction?
Really, it's technology just resonates with me and something that I understand well, but it was the people, being able to work with somebody and see them light up and understand something they've not seen and be able to connect to a world that's beyond them. And that seeing them light up in that way is just amazing.
Well, you got to light up people who don't know technology, and I probably don't know very much about it, and I'm probably pretty typical. And so your job, I would assume, is to kind of be able to convey and communicate with these people in a way they can understand it, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we work hard to strip away the technology. Mm-hmm. When we work with a business, we focus on the business first. We focus on what drives them, what moves them, what do they need first. And then we figure out the technology is a subservient layer that comes in underneath all of that, and we can't really implement technology, or we shouldn't, until we really understand what their business does and what they need to accomplish.
On your very fine website, JNR Networks, you talk about human networks. It's kind of a theme, a central theme to, I guess, the philosophy around the technology. What do you mean by human networks?
Well, it's our core philosophy. It's a human network is a system that interconnects people and the work that they do with each other. And we realize that technology exists only to serve to enable that. So a business needs to have the people and the work that they produce interconnect so they can share data, collaborate, work together to produce their products, serve their clients, and do whatever they're doing. And technology comes in as a layer that supports and enables and empowers all that to occur.
We're speaking with James Riley of JNR Networks. This is our Cox Technology segment. We hear a lot about the cloud. James, if you could explain, just simply put, what is the cloud and its the growth of the cloud services, and what are some of the cautions that we should have, James, about the cloud?
Well, the cloud at its core is really just an interconnective system. Think of it like your highways and the public road system. It allows things to interconnect. And then there's street addresses that people own. And on the internet, that would be servers. It would be a web server hosting a website or an email server hosting email, that kind of thing. So there are some things to be aware of that, you know, throughout that system that interconnects things, which we call the internet, We want to make sure that when we're doing building things, we want to make sure that that your communication is secure and encrypted. And then we also want to be aware of who's holding your data, whether it's an email service or whatever. We want to make sure that the place that's holding your data is secure, that the people have the right integrity and are going to manage it properly, and are going to make sure your data remains a private and only the right people have access to it.
So how can you secure the cloud? I mean, that would be my first concern. Is what I'm putting up going to be secure?
Yeah, so there's different levels of security, as we have in our personal life, right? We have certain things that we don't, you know, we leave out on the porch, and then other things we keep locked, and other things we keep maybe in a safety deposit box. And the same thing's true with the internet. Some things we don't really mind if they're accessed, and so you use your Gmail or something like that for personal email. When you get into business and private communication, you want to make sure that the servers you're using are dedicated for you, or that you have some kind of agreement that data is going to remain only for you, and then that the people that are hosting that, they keep it in the U.S. Once they go international, you've got a lot of international laws you have to be aware of, and you want to make sure that they have good security practices behind what they're doing.
When you sit down to talk to business executives about their particular IT, give me kind of what would your strategic approach be to information technology, James Riley?
Well, our first strategic approach is to understand their business. What are they trying to accomplish? What are the pains they're having? And what we found is a lot of times they don't know what they don't know. So they don't necessarily come out and say, well, we have a problem. We need a new server, or we need new computers. Usually they're dealing with other issues. They're dealing with HR issues or personnel issues or productivity issues. And then as we start to drive into those, we start to examine what the driver is behind that issue. Sometimes the fix is not IT. Sometimes it's an HR or a leadership issue. And sometimes it's IT that can either fix it or can come in and enable them to implement the other layer of solution.
And people, I'm sure, the businesses, they want their everything to be up and running fine all the time. But then when things go down, they want it obviously corrected fast.
Yeah.
I mean, am I right on that? Isn't that kind of what the top priority is? Get it fixed.
Yep. So, I mean, we work a lot to avoid issues, but when they show up, we've got to make sure we're right there and available for them.
Are there some things that preventive, just like we prevent stuff from going wrong, hopefully, with our automobiles? Are there things that preventive maintenance that can keep things up and running and avoid problems?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just managing your systems yourself, what you can do is you can make sure that the updates and patches are applied. You know, if you've got Java and Adobe Acrobat and those kinds of things, make sure those stay up to date. And a lot of times you'll get prompted and told to go ahead and update those, that they need to have an update. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Keep those things up to date, which will be a huge key to staying secure. If it goes beyond just a couple computers and you want some help, that's where somebody like us comes in. And we manage all that stuff with ongoing agreements with our clients and support that and just take care of all of it, make sure everything's up to date and current.
Has Cox been good to you?
Very much so.
Yeah. How do you use Cox?
When we walk into a client, especially with the cloud, which we talked about earlier, we need access to the internet, or we need phone systems, or we need phone connectivity. And Cox is a phenomenal solution to bring in. They're great to work with. We've got a great relationship with them there. So we can bring them in, work with them to help us build out solutions and make sure that those solutions are going to be solid and stable and just keep working for our clients.
James Riley talking with us about his company, and you've done very well with the company, haven't you? You started, you said, how many years ago?
10 years ago, running JNR Networks.
JNR Network, and the J stands for James, and the N
is the love of my life, Natalie.
And the R is Riley. So if folks want more information, they should get a hold of you at would jnrnet.com do it? Or
absolutely, or you could email me at james@jnrnet.com, and we'd love to talk.
James Riley, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
James Riley on our Cox Technology Report. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. 12:44 now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Plus, Tom Collier, our consumer contributor, joins us, Buckmaster, each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the show is sponsored by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a lovely environment, historic Silver City. You can go hiking, camping. You can go visit the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is world famous. It's just north of Silver City. Great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Georgetown Cabins. No shortage of great accommodations in the Silver City area. And things to do? Well, check out the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Ludwig Debusch, a professor emeritus of pathology at Northeast Ohio Medical University. He is a native of New York. He lives here in Tucson. He's been in the Tucson area since 2000. He is the author of The White House Physician, and now his new book is titled The Health of the First Ladies, Medical Histories from Martha Washington to Michelle Obama. Dr. Debusch, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me how this book came about. Did you feel this was kind of a natural sequel to The White House Physician?
Yes, it was. 7 years ago, The White House Physician was published, and that was a follow-up of my thesis for a master's degree in history at the University of Arizona, where I started taking classes pretty soon after we moved down here in 2000. So having done The White House Physician, which dealt mainly with the presidents of the United States, I discovered that there was a lot of information about the their spouses, the first ladies. Until now, there has not been a comprehensive study of the diseases of the first ladies and how their diseases might have affected their husbands, how it might have been affected by their responsibilities as first lady, and so on. So I had a lot of fun the next 7 years writing this book.
What were some of the more bizarre illnesses that afflicted some of our first ladies?
Well, at least six first ladies suffered from malaria. And which is interesting, and they probably developed that disease because of their husbands. For instance, Abigail Adams, who lived in New England, she became the second lady when John Adams became vice president to George Washington, and the first capital of the country was New York City. And at that time, there were lots of swamps around New York City, and Abigail developed malaria at that because she was a good wife and spouse to her husband, and she wanted to be with him when he was vice president. Subsequently, several first ladies developed malaria because Washington, D.C., until the late 1800s, was a fever swamp. And Mrs. Polk developed malaria in the summer together with her husband because James K. Polk, who was president between 1844 and 1848, he was such a workaholic that he never wanted to depart from the heat, summer heat of Washington, D.C. So he stayed there working, and his wife remained with him, and they both got malaria.
None of the first ladies died of malaria, though, in the White House.
No, they did not. Only three first ladies have died in the White House.
Beginning with President Taylor's wife, Letitia, I believe, was
Letitia Taylor. Yes, the first one, and she was a very sickly lady. She was pregnant eight times with seven children, and she might have had toxemia of pregnancy because she developed hypertension. We presumed hypertension shortly after she had several pregnancies, and she was so weak and disabled to an extent that when Tyler became vice president, he elected to remain in Virginia. Because his wife would have been unable to serve as first lady, but then, unfortunately, William Henry Harrison died within a month after becoming president because he talked too long with his inauguration speech, developed pneumonia, and Tyler became president. So Mrs. Tyler came to the White House, and no one really saw her. She had daughters who were acting first ladies.
There were some presidents then that didn't have first ladies, correct?
There were, and several who were widowers. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson was a widower. Martin Van Buren was a widower. James Buchanan never married. There's some thought that he might have been the first and only gay president. Yeah. And that's been hinted at, but never proven. But his aunt, rather his niece, Harriet Lane, served as his first lady. Now, Harriet Lane was a very interesting woman. I didn't write about her in the book. But she was one of the ones who contributed money to support the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine back in the 1890s.
Dr. Depesch is with us, Ludwig Depesch, a doctor who has written a book called The Health of the First Ladies. We had depression in the White House on, I think you mentioned, six first ladies had notable depressions.
Yes, and
Probably the most well-known was Abraham Lincoln's.
Abraham
wife.
Lincoln, poor mm-hmm. Mary Todd Lincoln. Yeah. She was a very good mate to Abraham Lincoln for many years, and then her son started to die. And the most notable death was Willie. And if you saw the recent movie Lincoln,
yes.
Willie's death is portrayed very very graphically and well. And after that, she really became quite paranoid and depressed. And she began to hold seances in the White House in order to communicate with Willie. But after Abraham was assassinated right in front of her, she became well, some people say that she was bipolar. Mm-hmm. And eventually, her son, Robert Lincoln, who at that time was the only surviving of the four Lincoln sons, he had her committed to a mental hospital outside Chicago.
Well, we've talked about depression, we've talked about malaria, we've talked about first ladies who died in the White House. What about first ladies who actually gave birth in the White House?
Only one. It was Grover Cleveland's wife, Frankie Cleveland, Frances Cleveland. She was originally the ward of Grover Cleveland. He was at least 30 years older than she was. And as soon as she graduated from college, they became engaged. During the interim between Grover Cleveland, who had only president to have to serve two non-successive terms in the White House, she gave birth to baby Ruth.
In the White House?
No, that was outside the White House.
Okay.
But then the second, when he was reelected in 1992 and served from 93 to 97, there was another birth in the White House, and the only birth of a presidential child in the White House.
What about the Kennedys?
Oh, there were several births of the Jackie and Jack Kennedy. Actually, Jackie Kennedy was pregnant five times.
Mm.
Very difficult obstetrical history. The first pregnancy was a miscarriage. The second one was a stillbirth. The third was Carolyn, and that was a very normal delivery in New York City. But the fourth and fifth were prematures. The fourth was a John John, mm-hmm. and he was born, I think it was in Washington, D.C., but not in the White House. It was before Jack was inaugurated.
President. So your statement then that there was only really the one president
right.
That had, while they were president.
But there was a second pregnancy
yeah.
during Jack Kennedy's tenure, and that was in 1963, and there was Patrick, and he was born in Hyannisport, I think in August, prematurely, and died.
Just about out of time. The book is The Health of the First Ladies. I wanted to ask you, and I've only got just a few seconds, if you could, was the illnesses and the health of the First Ladies, when you think about it, what impact did it make? And was there any particular president that it impacted more than others? Which would you say?
Oh, there were several. I would point first to an obscure president, Franklin Pierce. Jane Pierce was depressed. She had lost three children, three sons, and the last one just before he was inaugurated, and she was depressed and stayed in her room for the first 2 years of the four-year presidency. And his presidency failed to stop the Civil War.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Dr. Ludwig Debusch is the author of The Health of the First Ladies, also the author of The White House Physician. The book is available.
It's available through Barnes & Noble and also Amazon in both print and ebook editions.
Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
I want to do a big, quick shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Check it out. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, will be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow with our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.